Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, the only motorsports show in San Diego County that I'm aware of. You can find us at FM 96.1 AM 1170 The Answer. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. 6622 University Avenue in San Diego, 619-265-2400. Go to sdcarb.com. I was over at his joint the other day, and he had a couple of Datsun 510s.
Ooh, cool.
IRS.
Oh.
I mean,
wow.
You should have seen the carburation. One had, I think, a set of Webers on it. The other one had a set. Of course, whoever put them on just left the bottom bolts loose and stuff. So Stan is just working away on them.
Uh-huh.
I would kill for both those cars. But Stan works on everything from today's everyday driver to vintage cars to imports to cars that go to Pebble Beach, Barrett Jackson. I mean, he does it all. Go to sdcarb.com, make an appointment. You'll go over there and make your car happy again and get it better fuel mileage.
Nice. You know, if you've been saying for quite a while that we are probably the only motorsports show in, I think we are, because nobody has ever said anything otherwise.
No,
I've never heard anybody say there's another one. So
I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
Hey,
I think we are the only.
Did
game.
You have any calendar stuff? I know this is Racer Radio, but since we didn't get a chance to do your, you want to knock out some of that?
Right. Well, there's the big thing that's going on is Supercross is going to come to town. Now this weekend you've got your Monster Trucks.
They
right?
came and left.
Yes. Okay. So they were here this weekend, but coming up is going to be the Supercross.
All right. I followed Max D.
Yeah.
Ben East.
Yeah.
He needs to wash his truck.
So anyway, go to supercrosslive.com if you want to get tickets to the San Diego Supercross, and that's motorcycles, obviously. And then also they're going to be in Anaheim. So if you want to try to go up to Anaheim, you could do that too. So supercrosslive.com. The other thing that's coming up really quickly, man, this is coming up fast, is January 25th, the Grand National Roadster Show out in Pomona. Yeah. So go to rodshows.com for your info on that. And also on the 25th, up at the Deer Park Winery. Up there on Champaign Boulevard in Escondido, great place, is that's today, Winter Wonder Slammed in Escondido. Yay. All right. And then on February 9th is Dr. George's show out in Indian Wells. And that's where you might want to go for a fun show in the middle of winter. So Palm Springs Cruisin' Association. .com. That's the website to go to for info on the Dr. George show, which will be February 9th. And it says gets underway at 6:30 a.m. Oh, so that is a morning one. Might want to stay the night before. February 9th, also, that's our opening night up there at Paris at the Auto Speedway. And they're going to start off with their Pass Car Series. February 16th, there's a show in Temecula. This is called the 7th Annual Sweetheart Car Show. That's at 7:30 a.m. at St. Thomas of Canterbury Episcopal Church and School. On February 16th, there's an American Cancer Society fundraiser drive slash cruise slash car show at the Orange County Fairgrounds. And it's February 16th. It's called Peace, Love, and Cars, Drive for Hope. And they have a Facebook page if you want to go check it out. It's from 10 to 2. It's at it's on the county fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. But what you do is you buy a ticket to the Orange County Marketplace. And so it's like a farmer's market that they do there. And this is, you know, the same day, the same place, everything as the marketplace. They'll have classics, hot rods, and muscle cars. They're going to have live entertainment. They're going to have vendors. They're going to have food and everything. If you're going to do this, you go through, enter at gate 10, between 8 and 10 to get into place. And on their Facebook page, it says, no for sale signs. So if you're going to do the Peace, Love, and Cars drive, you may not try to sell your car at that meet. Why? I know. Well, you can, but you just can't put a sign up. You have to tell people or be there to answer questions if they ask about your ride and someone wants to buy it. All right. And then February 21st is the Big Three Parts Exchange. And that'll be down at the San Diego County Credit Union Stadium. Is that what they're calling it these days?
SDCCU.
Stadium. Okay. Big3PartsExchange.com. And if you want to register, they have a registration link there at the website. Well, let's see. I heard that Barona was getting underway in March. Is that true?
Well, you know they got their schedule out.
Their schedule is out. Yes, I know. So we're going to be hearing about that in our next segment. We got Dirt Dude calling in.
Yep.
So he'll tell us when the opening night is going to be. And I have a feeling there's going to be some really fun stuff going on at Barona this season. And I think it starts in March. So March 9th up at San Marcos High School is the 4th Annual Motors for Music car show at 9 a.m. And to get involved with that, you have to email pdsayer@att.net. And it's pdsayer. For Motors for Music car show at San Marcos High. Also on March 16th through the 17th is going to be the Classic Auto Show. Now this used to be, it started off 2 years ago. This is the third one. 2 years ago it was up at the LA Convention Center and I figured this thing out and said, oh my gosh, we have to get on this. And so Dave and I went up as media and they had it at the convention center, but they've moved it further south. So that's good for us down here. And Orange County Fairgrounds, yes, we need our credentials. And every time I announce this, I know I've asked for the credentials. I just haven't seen a response. But we are shortly going to have Dave Kindig call in. In the last 2 years, Dave Kindig called in and told us about the show. So we met
Brittany
with
just said early April.
Early April. Okay. That's the starting for the Barona Racing. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you for sharing. Early April. All right. So Classic Auto Show, Orange County Fairgrounds, March 16th through 17th. I guess we could wear green to that one, Dave.
Yeah, we could.
Right? St. Patrick's weekend. Also, down at Imperial Beach, there's going to be a Carne Asada run on March 16th. They have been doing this for 35 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
So it's Imperial Days down there. So this is their Carne Asada Run car show. If you want info on that, give a call to Mike at 760-356-3176.
Cool.
Yeah. And again, April. All right, so we're going to do Barona opener sometime in April. I got to get the date when Dirt Dude calls in. And then April 5th through the 7th, if you don't have anything to do, you can go up to Del Mar because they're doing the McGuire's Del Mar Nationals April 5th through the 7th up there at the fairgrounds. And to get involved with that, I know they always have local people show corrals and they have vendors and all that. Go to good-guys.com.
You got it. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. Dirt Dude's not on the line yet. He's probably still getting up.
But he will. Oh, I have one more thing, by the way. Mark your calendars now for April 12th through the 14th because that's the La Jolla Concours weekend.
Yes.
And it's 100 years of Bentley. I found out what the theme is.
Ah, finally.
100 years of Bentley. So it should be a nice show.
Should be a great show.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, 1595 East Main Street. Trust me, folks, if you're looking for new or used, you can't get better deals than you can at El Cajon Ford. 80% of their used cars are trade-ins, so they don't go to the auction, they send to the auction. They have a service department that can work on every single vehicle under out there, anything in your garage. New service manager, Dave, I went over and chatted with him. Guy is amazing. definitely is customer oriented. That's El Cajon Ford, where they can service and sell everything they sell. And they are a big, big supporter of Barona Circle Track. Schedules out, www.baronaspeedway.com. And with that being said, we've got Dirt Dude on the line getting ready for the April 6th first race. How you doing, bud?
Doing good. How about you guys?
You getting excited?
Yeah, just going through all my schedules of all the other tracks running different things and then our schedule and trying to figure out how we're gonna make everything work.
So, by the way, how are you feeling? Are you on the men's? Are you back to 100%?
Yeah, I'm still at 75, I guess. You know, it's taken a while to recover that last little bit. But
don't you hate that?
Comes around.
Don't you hate that? Yeah. It must be old age. I don't know.
I think we'll have to look into it. I mean, I had a cold, and I feel like I'm ready to, you know, get a wheelchair out.
He wishes he just had a cold.
Well, ever since, the first year? The first year, it's been like freezing cold. It's like the first warm day we've had.
Yeah. Ugh, if we wanted to live in the Pacific Northwest, we'd live in the Pacific Northwest.
All your injuries are just being amplified by the cold weather.
You're right. You need to have it dry out.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it goes away here by the time we have opening night. So, we're going to have our opening night April 6th will be the first night.
Right.
And we're doing an open practice on March 23rd. So, should be looking really great. I mean, the schedule's out now. Going through a little bit of the schedule, we are looking at 14 races as opposed to 16 races last year. But we also have two races that we're trying to schedule in November. I'm not sure what that's going to be. I'm thinking it might be some kind of a nationals, whether it be a dwarf car national or maybe a 600 or a California Lightning Sprint or maybe a mod national turkey night. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there's two dates reserved for November.
Nice.
Two nights for November. So we'll have to see. I mean, like I said, 14 races are what we're looking at for this season. Three of them are going to be celebrity races. We have one figure eight scheduled and one pure stock enduro. And I'm not sure how they're going to run the pure stock enduro. Times in the past, it's been 50 one way, 50 the other way, 100 lapper. You know, it depends on how many we're going to do. So it's on a night where we're going to run everything else too. So you have to actually break it up. Be nice so that way it's not running the whole time. But you know, our pure stocks do have to run forward and backwards. They're supposed to be set up to be neutral, and then sometimes you get to run them backwards and run them forwards. So it'll be interesting to see how they want to do that one.
Well, it sounds like you guys are as ready as you can get. With all this rain, how's that affected the track?
From what I've seen, pictures of the track, it looks really good. The infield's still flooded, but the track itself is looking good.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a self-cleaning track, right?
It'll pond in the center, but that's pretty much the way it's going to do it. Everything will drain to the center as long as the corners aren't full of water. But then I don't know what we have I know we have a couple weeks where we can dry out from, but we'll see as we get closer towards April and March. If we get a little bit of rain there in the end, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Everything should come together. Todd and Troy, you know, really got this track down, what they can figure out, what they can do to get it going. I mean, we're actually looking at what we have on our schedule. I see some 360 sprints are on there. California Lightning Sprints are normal mods that we're going to be running.
Right.
Street stocks, pro stocks, our pony stocks, pure stocks. We're not going to have any pro stocks this year. I'm going to give them a break and because we're trying other things. We have SoCal Mowers coming up for a weekend or two. We have some of their racing. SoCal Oval Carters are coming in January 1st. And we're actually switching over to a new system now, so we're going to be going to transponders.
That's what you're saying. By the way, you said the Oval Carters January 1st? June 1st.
That's what it is. I did the abbreviation on that. I was just like looking and through our schedule to see what there is that would be interesting. I know SoCal Oval Carters have been to our track before, and then they really liked it and had fun, but did not actually, you know, set up a race date. Well, now they do have a race date.
Good.
And June 1st.
And it looks like if somebody wants to do your open practice up there on March 23rd, it's only $40.
Yeah, and it's open to everybody. I mean, whether you have, you know, a car that we're running or something else, I mean, sprint cars, I've seen guys running, you know, California Lightning Sprints at that time, a couple of, you know, mods. You get the guys that are bringing up, you know, other forms of racing, the dirt track racing. I'm trying to remember what they are, like a dirt late model.
Oh, yeah, late model.
Like,
yeah,
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we haven't actually, I think we talked about trying to get them to our track, but nothing as of yet. We'll see, because I know they're just starting to pick up some stuff out in the desert now. Cocopa just started doing some big stuff out there. And if they get them in there, that means then they can get them to travel over here kind of to the West Coast. And we'll see if we can start doing some of that stuff. I know Paris had ran them before, but I don't think they're running anything like that anymore. They run the super stocks.
Right.
But they don't run those dirt ovals anymore, dirt late models.
Now, have you run 360s before?
We have had actually sprint cars at our track before, yes. 360s and 410s.
Okay.
Years ago. That's all we ran with sprint cars was 1 year. We went away from all of our other racing. And then every other weekend we were doing sprint cars.
So you're bringing them back. So you haven't had them for a while, because I didn't think I recognized that on your schedule from last year.
No, they haven't been at our track for a while. And I'm not sure which class we're actually going to run in, if it's going to be like CRA or any kind of sanctioned group.
Right.
And I know there's a couple other sanctions where they're talking about where they want to build more of an economic sprint car class where you're running more of a stock cast iron block, you know, and then with a starter and everything. So they're pretty much self-contained. I'm not sure if this is the group that they're going to try and bring out or not, but it'll be interesting to see. I'll find out more once we get into what we're doing for the year. Like I said, we're doing the whole MyLapse thing, which is the transponder receivers, which should be interesting. You still have to keep a score there, and I'm sure, you know, Chris is an awesome scorer. She's been with us forever, but you also, in case the transponder fails or something happens, you still want to have a hard backup of scoring.
Sure.
So Chris will probably be doing that. But then, like I said, transponders would be good because then you can start catch lap times, and once you buy one of the MyLap transponders, you sign up for a subscription. So basically, you can actually see your lap times, and everything else where you're running, and all that can be sent to your phone. You can watch it actually live data.
That's awesome for the drivers. Wow.
Yeah, especially if you're doing any testing or what have you. Are you going to have the transponders for practice day?
They're being required for the first race, so I'm sure by the practice date we're going to be trying to set the whole thing up, or actually trying to dial that system in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody's going to want to know, what is it going to be like during race season, so I'm sure
you'd want to know how to work
it. As soon as it's available, they're going to snag it.
Right.
Yeah, and you got to know, there's a certain place I'm sure that they're going to require the transponders all be setting at, because that way, not in the front and not in the back, it has to be a neutral point, and you have to make sure you pick them up, and they get picked up as they come across the start-finish line where they're getting read from.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. Like I said. There's a couple tracks that actually do a lot of transponder work, and it's a great reference because, like I said, you can do lap times, you can do lap speeds, you can do overall positioning and everything through it, where if you just have a scorekeeper, they're just going to tell you the position of every car, and they can't give you times or anything like that.
Well, and it takes all the insanity out of it. That way a driver can't come up and say, you guys didn't count my laps right. No, all that's over with. So
it should theoretically take all the guesswork out of it, but if you have a transponder that doesn't pick up or breaks in the middle of a race, then
But that's why you're not getting rid of the scorers.
No.
They're still going to be scoring because you got to have some kind of a backup in the event the electronic system fails. So.
Yes.
All right, so it looks like the figure eights are off the schedule.
There was one figure eight race in the schedule, and I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but I know when I look through it, there is one on the...
Okay, I'm looking right now to see if I can figure it out.
Towards the end of the season, there should be one that says figure eight.
Okay.
We believe you.
I'm looking.
Are you looking on the website then?
Yeah.
What I sent out was the picture that was the picture, a copy of the schedule itself. So it might have been a different version that they've changed maybe.
Oh. Okay.
Figure 8, July 13th. Do you hear that?
That was Yeah.
July 13th.
Because I know we have one on this on the list. And then that pure stock enduro, like I said, that should be pretty good. That's going to be probably 100-lap enduro, or let's see how far they're actually going to go.
That'll be huge. Well, I'm sure. And then what we got to do is, I'm gonna go home, and since I have the schedule in front of me, I'm gonna go ahead and set you guys up for a KUSI date, probably the Sunday before March 23rd.
Yeah, or before, at least before the 6th.
Well, yeah, but it'd be nice.
Before the 6th.
I'd like to kind of get it ahead of the 23rd. That way, all the cars that are ready. That way. Come put it on TV, take it home, button it up, and get ready for practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because we have new divisions. And
right.
Like I said, we'll find out more about our divisions, the 360 sprints, who we're going to be running, what kind of division. Like I said, you know, SoCal mowers and SoCal oval carters and, you know, our normal stuff. And actually, our dwarf car class has changed. They don't run a dwarf car. It's not Brona dwarf cars anymore. It's the Nomad dwarf cars of Brona Speedway.
Oh, interesting.
So basically, it's a different name, a different sanctioned name for our dwarf cars. They're called Nomads now, and they're running under the Western States rules. So,
well, that should be interesting.
Okay, so we'll have
basically what it is. I think Brona Speedway actually took the dwarf cars back over. So. With the contract that we had with the other group that was running the Brona dwarf cars now. So we're changing it to Nomad dwarf cars.
Gotcha.
It's not in with Brona dwarf cars anymore.
Gotcha.
They're Nomad dwarf cars.
Mm-hmm. All right. BronaSpeedway.com, BronaSpeedway.com. Folks, mark your calendar. I think you should come out for practice because you don't know what you're going to see.
And you have to try to use that transponder or get used to it.
Yeah, got to get used to that. I think that's going to be great. For the track, it's going to be great for the fans. And all right, buddy. Hey, well, thanks a lot for taking time out of your Sunday. Go get back up on the couch, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
And thank you, guys. Look forward to seeing it this year.
Always,
oh, we'll be there.
Always,
trust me.
Always.
All right, man. We're going to let you go. Hey, this is FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
We'll be right back. Back. This is Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in lovely Paris, California. Go to www.parisautospeedway.com. Parisautospeedway.com. Their schedule is up, and we've got Chuck Becker on the line. And Chuck is a three-time modified champion. And he's going to talk about a new ride. But before you do that, Chuck.
Oh, yeah. We got a little text message with some suggested questions to ask
you. Yeah. From your friend and mine. This guy must be your idol. Bobby Kimbrough. Do you know that guy?
I know Bobby. Bobby's a good guy.
These questions are designed to harass you.
I'm just going to read it the way he wrote it. He says, are you guys going to have Jack Skellington Becker on the radio today? Ask him if the chariots he was driving when he started had bearings or just axle in axle housings, and did he ever race Ben Hur? And last but not least, what's up with Nightmare Before Christmas? This guy. So you can go after him. You can go after him.
Go.
I can answer all those questions. There was just kind of a stick through somewhat of round things, but I had a good sponsor with Lucas Oil that could keep spinning. As far as Ben Hur goes, he usually beat me, but I was more consistent. And
the Nightmare
Before Christmas thing actually started because we were just looking for something different to have some fun. And when the kids come in the stands and stuff and they see something that they can relate to, maybe they can have some fun with it and keep them coming back.
There you go. So how you doing, buddy? How's the off season treating you?
Oh, the off season has been very different, very fun. Gave me a little bit of time to think and some, you know, I got to eat a little crow because I know I wasn't going to race this year.
Yeah, famous. You always say that right after the season. Have you ever noticed that?
No. Here's what actually happened.
Okay.
Right after the season, I took off and I went and I raced a race at Thorn Show.
Okay.
And then I proceeded to go to Hawaii and I got some time away and had a good time and I was good to not race and just go help some buddies or do whatever. And I got an interesting phone call about a little over a month ago from a gentleman named John Krebs, John Krebs Racing. And he said, hey, we're doing a thing at Paris. It's a test session. This is on a Tuesday. This Thursday, are you busy? I said, well, I'm working, but, you know, I'll see if I can get off work. He said, well, yeah, see if you can get off work. We got two cars coming down. I got one driver. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I show up. Man, I had a good time. Had a blast. Best time I've had in a race car in quite a while.
Ooh.
So before this is over with, he says, well, would you be interested in racing my car some this year? Says we don't want to run the full season, but we can race here and there anywhere around California, because they're from Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And me being down here, well, I'm like, sure, if I just got to jump in the car and show up, hey, I'm in.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a ride and drive?
Right. Well, so then it goes even further than that. Then I get an offer from Swift Springs. So we're with Frank Simonetti and Swift Springs. I've got another sponsor for the 2019 season. No matter what cars I drive or whatever, Swift Springs is on board. And you know, it's hard to say no when people are wanting to help.
Yeah, wow. When they're throwing money at you.
And so, what are you going to drive?
Right.
I'm gonna drive modifieds.
Okay.
Here's even better. My car, Randy Thornell, was also, he builds my engines, and he was at that practice as well. And if you've seen me and if you've seen Randy, we're two very much different sized people. I'm 6'3", 230, 235, somewhere in there. Randy's not.
Yeah, leave it at that.
He's a smaller guy. He says, hey, jump in my car and drive it. Well, jumping in his car wasn't an easy task. It was quite comical, to be honest with you. We got the cushion out of the car. We got, you know, my fat rear in there. And it was all I could do to sit in there with my head kind of cocked sideways and everything. And the steering wheel was into my stomach and, you know, the whole thing. But I went out and I had a blast in his car. It's like, can we make my car work like your car?
Wow.
He says, well, we can give it a shot. So my car's up at his house now.
So
we got a little bit of things going on, but I don't know how much I'll race, if I'll race the whole season at Paris, if I'll run, you know, miss a couple. But I do know one thing for sure, February 9th, I will be there.
Ah, that's the opening
that's
night.
That's excellent.
Yep.
So
awesome.
That's where we're at.
All right. Well, that sounds awesome. By the way, I would hit Kimbrough up for a season sponsorship for being such a knucklehead. Not a bad idea.
What he should do is he should come over and try and fix some of the mess that I make with the car whenever I tear things up.
See?
That's what he should be required to do.
I think you're absolutely correct. All right. Hey, I got to run down and grab my next guest coming in. I'm going to let Michelle go ahead and throw some questions at you.
Oh, gee. Okay.
Well, I got to tell you, this will be a good start. She took the Corey Kruseman driving school.
Oh, nice. Can I interview her?
Yes. So I sent her up there, and she was able to get out on this sloppy, muddy track.
Yeah.
She'll tell you all about it.
Right. In a 410. Oh.
Those are the best kind of tracks. You can kind of go for it and hang on.
Right. It was up, you know, it's up at Ventura. And
right.
It's a teeny little track that's shaped just like a paper clip.
Yes.
So you just hold on and go.
Well, you know, the last time I was there, it was a 20-lap main event, and I was trying to work the top side of the track, and I bounced off the front straightaway crash wall at that place 20 times.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Now, where did you run last year at Paris?
At Paris, I ran my own modified,
uh-huh.
And that's what I've been running for the last, 4 years.
Oh, okay, I got you. So something happened in Hawaii.
Yeah, I had a great time. I'm going back again in November.
Yeah, it's the best. I haven't been in a long time, but everyone asks me, because I haven't taken a vacation in a long time, where would I go? And that's exactly where I would go, because they have a direct flight now from San Diego to Maui, I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
We actually flew out of L.A., and we went to Honolulu for 2 days and saw the Polynesian Culture Center,
oh, cool.
Which I advise anybody to do. And then we also saw Pearl Harbor, which is a very humbling experience.
Sure.
And then we took off from Maui, and I got away from everything. I got to relax. I got to just have a good time and not be on any schedule or have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was really actually good for me.
Yeah. And look what happened when you came back and all these other things came into play to allow you, you know, if you really want to, you could just race part time.
Right. Right. So. And that's kind of what I was planning on maybe running just once, twice, three times, and seeing, you know, what happened. But seeing what happened has actually got it kicked off a little bit sooner. So
yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to race the whole season, but here we go. I do have some great sponsors. Lucas Oil is back on. Oh. Like I said, Swift Spring is on.
Right.
Randy Thornell helps me with my engine, CJ Evans. Then Carpet Station, Huss Trucking, Edmore Drivelines, and last but definitely not least is PRE 2.0, which is Shelly Woolridge.
Sure. Great sponsor. And they do so much for helping racers. I love their organization. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her and Dennis are awesome. So.
Totally. So if somebody wants to follow you during the season, where would they go? Do you have a Facebook page, a website, or both?
I do have a... No, I just have a Facebook page. It's just under my name, Chuck Becker.
Okay.
And I try to post when the schedules are, where we're going, how we did. Usually it's terrible, but that's all right, as long as we're consistent.
Well, look, there's always that, you've got your work cut out for you mentality.
Right, right.
Yeah. So
you know, it's been really like the last few years. Yes, I've won three championships, but it's been really, really hard. It's mostly just a matter of being consistent. And, you know, sometimes if the car is not there, you kind of got to accept what's left over instead of racing, you know, to be in the top three or top five. You just kind of got to, you know, hang on and not push the car.
Yeah.
Because then you don't got to fix too much stuff.
Well, Chuck, wouldn't you say that maybe the competition coming up through the ranks... You know, I mean, these are young kids, young drivers that are, because you've been driving for at least, what, 3 or 4 months?
At least.
Yeah. If you're hanging with Ben, so you've been driving a while. And I think sometimes, you know, when we get to a certain age and you've been winning as well as you've been winning, it's a little harder to do because maybe you're working maybe a little harder. I don't know. But the key is you just got to keep having fun. And I think this season will be a perfect season for you to have fun. Because you're not, you're not under a 1 year schedule that you have to adhere to.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Some of these kids are fast. I mean,
wicked.
I'm watching like Matty Hicks.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's like ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
We have a new competitor this year that's coming from the street stocks, and he's a great guy, Luke Dodd.
Uh-huh.
He's going to run the modifieds. You know, there's always, you know, Billy Wormsbecker. He's so consistently up front all the time. I don't know if he's going to show up this year or not.
Mm-hmm.
The Kirbys, when they show up, they're fast. Terry Hershberger runs consistent up front.
Right.
Dave Clark. You know, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of guys, and it's tough to win.
Sure.
Steven Fangmeier. I don't want to forget him.
Oh, sure.
Bam Bam. You
know? Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is hard to win. And it gets kind of frustrating, but you got to keep it in perspective. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. And some of these kids, they, I guess they haven't been doing it long enough or gotten hurt enough to where they realize how bad it's going to hurt.
Let me tell you about hurt. Yeah.
Do it.
I was just talking to the announcer at Barona. He crashed out of the desert. And he says, I'm not 100% yet. I don't understand it. I thought for sure I'd feel better by now.
It's that old age thing.
Well, you know, right? you throw your body on the ground enough times, it takes a while to come back.
Yep.
Right.
So tell us about your new car. Do you know what you're going to be in yet?
Well,
yes, it's actually a 2013 Harris. That's the one I'll be in on the 9th. And then whenever I go wherever we go with John Krebs.
Uh-huh.
But I drove it, man, the thing drives easy.
Wow.
I don't even know why, but it was just really easy to drive. You just kind of point it and stand on the gas and hang on.
Wow.
Cool.
There's a difference.
So then I could do it.
You could.
Right. Sure.
Well, you know, it was I don't know how to describe it, but I had a great time in the car where I wasn't having a lot of fun in my car anymore.
Well, so maybe sometimes it's just those little things. So Do you think you're going to maybe sell your old car?
My car is up for sale. And if somebody wants to give me a call or whatever, mine's up for sale. My son also has one here that's for sale. Mm. Whichever one goes first, we're going to keep the other one and race.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind me asking this. Because I'll bet you $20 half the people out there listening don't know what the price of a race car is.
Okay, well, I put mine up for sale race ready for $9,500 because it's a used car. Yeah. It's got, you know, three seasons on it. And it's got an open motor where a lot of the cars have crate motors. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, a lot of the tracks, it's hard to compete with an open motor versus the crates.
Right.
At Paris and stuff, you know, the crates do, they hold their own there. Brandon's car, it's a little bit older. It's an 09. Mine's a 15. And we want $8,500 for his race ready.
Wow.
Or $6,000 without an engine. So
there you go. How do they get a hold of you?
I don't know, hit me up on Facebook or Messenger.
All right.
Just, you know.
Chuck Becker.
And it's, like I said, it's just Chuck Becker.
All right.
Got my big old ugly smiling face on there.
All right, Chuck. Hey, we're going to have to let you go. I got a Carroll Shelby Mustang GT500 interview coming up. And I know
I was racing before those came out.
I'm sure you would. All right, Chuck. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you down the road. Right. We'll see you at the track.
Yeah, good luck, Chuck.
Looking forward to seeing you guys.
All right, buddy. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle, and you're listening to Racer Radio.
Absolutely. And this segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net for all your automotive needs. We're going quick because I want to run this awesome 2020 Shelby GT500 interview. Take a listen.
All right, folks. Hey, we've got Carl Widman on the line, and this guy has probably got the best dream job on the planet. He's a Mustang GT500. Did you ever think that you would get this job, Carl?
Well, yeah, I pinch myself each morning. It is pretty cool, tremendous honor and responsibility to be working on such great Mustangs like these, like the 500.
Oh, my God. How long have you been on the program?
So I've been chief engineer on the Mustangs for over 4 years now.
Oh, you just... Was this a goal of yours? Was this something that you tried to kind of work into, or did it just happen?
I've always been interested in the engineering and technical side, and... a lot of what goes on of meeting the customer demands with systems engineering, and it just worked out that the executives thought I could do a good job on Mustang, and I get up every morning and do the best I can.
Trust me, you've done a phenomenal job. Well, Michelle and I had a guest in last night, and he was a big Mustang guy. And, oh, my God, if you didn't know better, you would have thought that was the only car on the planet. Right, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. We also had my co-host, when Dave's not around, she's a Mustang owner as well. So on both sides, we had it in both ears.
So they're looking forward to this interview. So
yeah.
GT500, you've kicked it up over 700 horsepower. I mean, what are some of the other bells and whistles that the Mustang owners are going to love with this new car?
Right, so to take all that power and torque we get out of this supercharged 5.2 liter, we went to a dual clutch transmission, referred to as a DCT. And it's a version of an automatic transmission, but it is super durable, super quick shifting. So that gives us the capability to take all that torque and put it down on a track. We can shift in less than 100 milliseconds.
Wow.
It takes this powerful car and just gives it that extra capability, like a 350, that you can drive it on a track to and have a real fun track day with it. It's just so much power.
So they're not going to miss the actual manual, is what you're trying to say.
No. We have paddle shifters available that if you want to shift yourself and try to enjoy the vehicle that way, you can do that also. So we have the ability to do that with the paddle shifters.
Well, you were nice enough to invite me to a press event with the Mustang 350 GT. And, you know, and I was, you know, I'm a big stick shift guy, okay? I'm older than dirt, you know, and you guys literally convinced me that the new transmission really, I mean, I couldn't outdrive that automatic. I felt more comfortable using it than not using it. I mean, you've got a transmission that remembers what you're doing on the track lap by lap by lap and adjusts accordingly. So if you happen to get a really good lap in, the car remembers it and gives it to you on the next lap. I mean, who does that? And then you take on the underbelly of the car, you take the plastic underpinning and you put coves in it so that the air goes directly to the brake calipers. You adjust the brake, you mount the brake calipers totally different than anybody else, so you don't have any, you know, pad float. I mean, what more could you have done to this car? But I'm sure you've done more.
Right. So a lot of stuff is actually that integration you're talking about with the chassis and the powertrain. So what we're able to do with the supercharger and the DCT transmission, we're able to integrate it with the chassis system so you can select, you know, what mode you want, be it track, drag strip, and it can change all the settings in the vehicle to respond to you and to set you up for the turn just right. So as you brake, it'll set you up in that gear to be good and going to pull out. So it's all that integration of it that is what the Ford Performance team just, you know, is relentlessly dedicated to making sure it is an extraordinary car.
Right.
Yeah. I bet what a bummer having to test it over and over on the drag strip. Oh,
I think the road.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's an amazing vehicle in the amount of time it has been doing the track and the drag strip at the same time. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I have a whole team who has to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, when you think, okay, drag strip, road course, you know, how do you build a car that could address both, you know, different styles of driving? And I'm sitting here telling you, you guys hit it right on the head. I mean, a lot of people think the drag strip aspect would be pretty simple, but it's way more difficult than you would think. But then to be able to take it out on a road course and be just as competitive, it's just amazing.
Yep, it's a total heart-pounding, thrilling ride, right? It's just tremendous fun to be behind the wheel.
Mm. So how does somebody get hold of one of these? Are these going to be a limited thing where it's only certain people are going to be able to access them, or how is that going to work?
So they're available this fall, and very similar to other Ford Performance Shelby's, like the 350, they are a limited amount that go through Ford Performance Ford dealerships. But that would be the way to raise your hand if you're looking for one.
How soon can people get on the website? And I'm sure there's all they got to do is go to Ford.com and go to Shell. I'm sure there's a site. So how soon can people start ordering them if they
probably early fall? It'll probably go live.
Yeah. Are there going to be a lot of options, or is it going to be a kind of a one car, one price?
Yeah, we've got maybe three options, which have to do with whether or not you want to have the 1,000-watt audio, navigation, blind spot monitoring. So it's called a tech package available. And then for people who want to have exposed carbon fiber, we have a package that's available that's exposed carbon fiber with a Cup 2 semi-slick tire that has a rear seat delete. That's kind of like an extreme car.
Right.
And then just like always Mustang, you can choose your color roof, choose from three different paint stripe colors, which if you want a paint stripe. So we still in 11 different exterior colors. So a lot of customization that way.
And I really like that because, you know, there are people out there that are stripe delete people. They just don't like stripes. Then there's people that like stripes. Then there's people that want the stripes, but they don't want them on their car. And that's one thing I've always appreciated about Ford is you pretty much let the consumer order it the way they want it, you know, as long as it falls within the parameters of building the car. You know, instead of saying, no, 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 you got to have stripes. No, 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 you can't do that. You know, you guys are very customer-oriented when it comes to that, and I applaud you for that.
Yep. The team at our assembly plant south of Detroit prides themselves on making sure they can get the color and combination of stripes that the customer wants.
Right. Oh, and your Mustang enthusiasts out there, you better make them happy, because, boy, I tell you, they've got high demands, and, you know, the buzz is already about this new 2020 GT500, which is going to be awesome. So don't make this one electric. You can go play with the other Mustangs, but don't make this thing electric. That's just an old
Nope, thing. It is a 5.2 supercharger. So
there
is,
you go. Now we're talking.
All the horsepower we can get out of a 5.2 V8.
Yeah, but you'll find more next year. What do you want to bet?
Well, we're going to push it as far as we can on this one.
I know, you're not talking future product, but I try every once in a while, you know, just try to slide it in there when no one's looking. But have you got any pricing on it as yet?
No, not yet. So final horsepower and pricing, you know, later this fall.
Well, and you know, really, have you really found a problem with people caring about the price? I think they care more about the car. The price is really kind of secondary, wouldn't you say?
Some of these, the GT500 is kind of a special thing, so it is a little less price sensitive than our entry cars.
Yeah, you're not going to have a guy go down to the dealer and say, okay, I'll buy this GT500, but I want it for $100 over invoice. And then the dealer laughs for about 20 minutes. Yeah, that's not what this car is all about. This will become a collector's car. Are you going to number them?
Yeah, so it's same as we've done with the 350. Each of the vehicles for each model year will have a code on it that says what is the chassis sequence that went down the line. So same with 350 and the bullets.
What about data recorders?
You know, I don't have anything to share on that today. Maybe a little bit towards launch.
All right, cool. Hey, by the way, we had Sean in to San Diego with the original Bullet Mustang.
Yeah, and way cool.
I had honor, and I truly say honor, to sit there and interview him for about an hour, hour and a half at the Air and Space Museum. We had that car on display. We even had his car down at the KUSI, and we found, not the original, but we found a black 68 Dodge Charger, so we put both cars on the TV segment. It was just awesome, man. I'm telling you, that is just
fabulous.
Yeah, that's such a
lot of fun globally on that product. Yeah. A lot of fun globally.
Yeah, and the family are just such amazing, you know, folks to take this car and leave it exactly the way it is and share it with the world. Really, I mean, he's been to Europe. He's going everywhere with it. And I think that is such a great PR, not only for Ford but for Mustang as well, and Steve McQueen.
Yep. No, it's another one of the family stories that ties in with the Mustang. They're a little bit more than just transportation, and 500 will be the same as it gets passed down through the family. It's
right. Michelle actually went to. Did you go to the event up at the boys' school that Steve went to?
Well, yeah, I went to the Steve McQueen Auto Show where they finished off the cruise with the new Bullet, and Ford people cruising them out there at the, and that was the end point, and met up with them, interviewed them. It was, I talked to a lot of the Mustang owners that went along on that cruise. Just had a great time talking with everybody and wished I had gone.
No doubt. Great American road trip.
Did you get to go?
Yeah, for sure.
No, actually, they left about the same time I had to go a different direction. But we wished them off on their trip at the World Headquarters when they went off, and then they left from World Headquarters in Dearborn, and they picked up people in Chicago, and they picked up people along Route 66 by the time they got to the Boys Club.
I know you've never heard this before, but if you ever have another opportunity and you need a couple of journalists to do this for you, drive and report, we are more than happy to throw our hat in the ringer.
Oh, no problem. Next time we get the event pulled together, I'm sure we're coming up on the 55th here for Mustang here in April, right?
Yeah. It's right around the corner. Well, hey,
give
John Delmonico a big hug. That guy is the most amazing PR guy, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never worked with a more efficient, on top of it, caring PR guy ever. So I'm just saying that on air because I truly believe it. I mean, I get more interviews from Ford than I do from any other manufacturer, and he's constant. So give
him a big John hug. Is at the top of his game, as always.
Oh. Absolutely. But, hey, because we gave him all of these accolades, make sure he buys you lunch.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, Michelle, you got
anything? Thank you for...
No, thank you, Carl. Thanks for your time, and we're looking forward to seeing this new GT.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today. Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day, and as they say in Detroit, try to stay warm.
I will. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.